This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You ready for a series, Keith?
Yeah, I'm ready for a series. I'm ready. You weren't nervous.
I really wasn't. I
was nervous.
My panic meter never went above 50.
It's true.
It was at 49 after they went down 0-2.
You were pinned at a 49.
Yeah. Now it's lower.
But you didn't go above it.
Nope.
I never went away from picking the Celtics, but I called it a coin toss.
Yeah.
I said it's a coin toss, and if you're forcing me to pick, I'll pick the Celtics, but I am panicked.
Yeah. Still?
No, not so much.
Yeah, less so. I mean, it's still 2-1, but I was thinking about this. Would you rather Monday, real quick for you? Would you rather be the team that is up 2-1,
uh-huh,
or the team down 2-1, but you have led every game by over 20 points?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. They could have won all three games
right.
by blowout.
Yeah.
And they're going to kind of have to win games, I think, by blowout, because I don't think they can win close ones.
You might be right.
Which is a whole other thing to get into. But to answer your question, based on how these three games have gone, I'd rather be the Celtics. They should be up 3-0.
Yeah, the one team going into the series that we thought was better is better. Now, the results aren't there. So if you wanted, like, well, scoreboard says 2-1. Like, okay. But who has been better? And nothing really has changed in the first three games that would make me think the rest of the series, the Knicks are suddenly better or anything like that. So, yeah, the Celtics did. So, game three played out, honestly, like I thought game two was going to play out. I thought they were going to shoot lights out.
I thought
they were
going to
run them off the court.
I thought that was a lock.
So, that was surprising, right? Yeah. I mean, so you lose one. Okay, not every team sweeps the teams that they're supposed to sweep and things like that. Like, whatever. That's why you have a seven-game series. But for game two to play out so similar to game one was legitimately surprising. But then everything kind of righted itself with the game three performance.
Yeah, so, you know, when their shots falling and when they're blowing teams out and rolling,
yeah,
they can win some games. We'll see if they can win a close one against New York. We'll see if they can pull out the series or the Celtics back. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. It's not all we're talking here on the show today, but it is where we're starting. We'll get into the Red Sox. Sean Henry had to go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
To talk down Rafi Devers, among other people.
As hot as a pistol right now.
So he is. Yeah. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. I will mix in some thoughts on the Miss Maine competition this weekend.
Yes.
Bill Belichick there in attendance.
Sure was.
Eyeballing some of the other Miss Massachusetts, among others.
Well. All right.
Which we'll get to. Keith has a summer movie preview, all the blockbusters.
That's right.
At 11:45, and a special appearance by Terp.
Pure
Hoops High Noon from
Live
New York.
From New York, it's Justin Turpin.
Live from New York, it's Pure Hoops.
Yes. Pure Hoops.
So
I'm pumped.
We'll be doing that at High Noon with Terp. Again, you can jump in line, 617-779-7937. That is your phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. You tell me if this is even a fair question, Keith. Maybe they never went away.
Okay.
Are the Celtics back?
Yeah, I don't think they ever really went away. I think they had a couple of horrible fourth quarters, and it was like, all right, you guys need to figure this out. But they were still the team that was expected to win the series. And we talked about some of the, even like the live betting, some of the odd shifts. Now, they went from, you know, minus 800 to minus 100, right? One book had him as a dog for like a second. Everybody else still had them as the favorite, despite the fact that the numbers are so overwhelming for teams that are up 2-0 to win a series. Even the books were like, no, we can't. We can't do that with the Celtics. So it was a poor start, to be sure. The shooting was atrocious pretty much across the board. But no, they weren't dead. They weren't going to go out this year. Now, this way, anyway. Now, do they win the title? We shall see. But I don't see them losing a second round to the New York Knicks. Right? The Knicks have some good players, but I don't know. If they go down, it's going to be to somebody that's a little bit better than New York is.
It's not going to be the Cavs based on the way that series is going.
It might not be the Eastern Conference, which is also kind of what we said all along. Like, I like Cleveland all year. Now, they've been just smoked by injuries, and now they're getting smoked by the Pacers, as it turns out. And who knows who's even going to come out of the West, as another aside. You know, like that, those series are all up
for grabs. Yeah, OKC is even now. Curry's still out for Golden State. They've lost two in a row. So, look, I mean, if the Celtics get healthy teams, I'm not going to complain about their road like I did last year, which is they got every team without their best player.
No.
Until they got a 5 seed in the finals a year ago. So to me, that was egregious. I mean, I have no complaints about the Knicks in round two. They're healthy.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm asking for.
It was the 3 seed Knicks, although they are kind of a, like, fraud-ish team. You know, they didn't beat anybody good in the regular season, including the Celtics, right? They got swept by the Celtics. They got swept by the Cavs. So they were the 3 seed. They were the classic beat everybody worse than you. The Pistons series was sort of a head-scratcher because they got outplayed by the Pistons. And then at the end of the games, the Pistons would choke it away, and the Knicks, to their credit, were able to take advantage and win the series. So the fact that they won the first two games, I think, just surprised everybody that was watching these two teams play. Like, well, this is not what we expected. Maybe you thought the Knicks might give them a series, but you didn't think they were going to take the first two games in Boston by any means.
So what changed in Game 3, if you were going to boil it down? What was the difference between dropping two games at home, blowing big leads in those games, and then winning Game 3 at the Garden?
I mean, the super simple answer, it's the obvious answer. They made all their threes. They just couldn't miss. Tatum couldn't miss early on. The team right away, they ended up shooting 50%. And over course or you know, throughout the game, it was better.
It was only 43s, you know, so like it wasn't an outlandish
number.
They
made 20.
No. They made a ton. They made a high percentage, but it wasn't like they're back to chucking up 60 a game.
No, which I like.
Me
I think
too.
This was good. Like I like the ratio being take more twos than threes, but we know they're still gonna take a lot of threes. They just made such an alarming rate. I mean, they made twice as many, right? When you look at the first two games of the series, they made 25, but they took 100. So 25% is not going to get it done. And 50% is the extreme, right? Like 50% is also not something you can rely on. But if they shoot whatever their average was, 33, 34%, like they're going to beat the Knicks. Now, other teams, whatever, like that, maybe they need to do a little bit better than that. But it was just the shot was falling and it never went away. And they built this big lead and, you know, Peyton Pritchard had an awesome game. And that was really what stood out to me. Like, it's fun watching them play where they're just bombs away, everything's going in. And then, but when they're missing shots, it just piles up on them. And then they feel like each guy on the team feels like, oh, well, this shot will get us out of this funk. This shot will get us out of the funk. And then it just gets worse and worse.
What about Tatum specifically?
I thought he was pretty good. His threes were falling. What did he hit, his first three or whatever
it was? He was 4 for 4 to start, yeah.
And I think that goes a long way, you know, with his overall confidence. He didn't put up like a million points or anything like that, but he had a good all-around game hitting some of his threes. And, I thought he was strong. I mean, not his best playoff performance we've ever seen, but I thought he was good.
I think this is why his efficiency is important. I know people talk about, well, he does more than just score. Your best player has to score. Your best player, I mean, ideally would be efficient. He ended 8 of 20. From the floor, which
it
I guess
felt better than that.
It felt way better, and he started out making all his threes. When you have to guard Tatum, and you're always going to have to cover him, so that probably sounds stupid, but when he's rolling and you really have to pay a lot of attention and divert a lot of resources to Tatum, that frees up everybody else. Like I don't think it's a coincidence that they shot well from three in a game where Tatum shot well early and had to be accounted for, and you had to divert resources to, and I don't think it's a coincidence that's where the Celtics shot well. So I do think a lot of it revolves around him. And I'll give him credit for showing up in Game 3. He did not in the first two. So this is what you need. You need Tatum not to go score 40, but he needs to come out and set the tone, and the defense needs to account for him and pay attention to him. That frees up other guys. If he's not going, other guys aren't going to get their looks. Other guys aren't going to be open. the Celtics offense isn't going to go. And so to me, that was a big difference in this game. I also thought Tatum was interesting after the game. He was asked about the criticism he dealt with coming out of the first two games of the series. And now after a win, it's a little easy to have some perspective on it. Here's what Tatum had to say after the Game 3 victory.
I live a great life. I ain't going to lie. I make a lot of money. I take care of my family. I've been able to experience a lot of things. But you also have to accept what comes with that, right? I get a lot of praise. I get a lot of credit. I get a lot of accolades. But, you know, I'm not perfect. And there's times where, you know, I've needed to play better. I needed to do more. And, you know, that's what comes with being, you know, that guy. So just understanding that. And it's not, you know, that people don't just criticize me. There's a lot of people that came before me that they criticize. And it's going to be people that, you know, come after me that they criticize. And, you know, for me, it's a sense of joy that I play with, right? You know, coming into a game, you know, with an angry face and mad at the world, that's not who I am. That's not when I play my best. So I always say you got to be the same person when things are going great and when things aren't going great. You know, you can't switch up. That's the, you know, it's the character of a good man.
Okay, so being consistent, I don't know if that's the character of a good man, but I mostly like that answer from Tatum. He understands who he is. He understands that he can't come in barking at everybody, mad at the world. That's not his personality. That would be out of character. So he stays in that same frame of mind, which I guess matters. The line I like in there is he's like, well, guys got criticized before me. Guys will get criticized after me. I'm not the only one. Like, people who think this criticism of Tatum is personal are insane. They don't listen to how other stars are talked about. I feel like he falls into that from time to time. You know, he and a lot of the Celtics feel real babyish about Perk and how he's come after them over the last year plus. Like, it's not a personal thing. It's just this is how we talk about superstars in the NBA. You're held to a higher standard. And he's saying the right thing there. I wonder if he truly gets that. I've questioned it before, but I'll give him that. Like, I thought that was a good answer from Tatum.
That was a great answer. I thought that was really impressive because we've talked about this guy throughout his entire career and the high expectations. There was talk earlier in the year, like, does he get enough credit and all this other stuff? And how about him being like, I get a lot of credit. I get a lot of accolades. And it's with that stuff then I think you're going to get the criticism. Like, nobody's going to sit here after they lose two games to the Knicks and be like, that Luke Kornet didn't show up.
Right.
What's his problem?
Right.
Like, the best players, it is such an NBA thing, too, because the best player has so much impact on whether the team wins the whole thing or not. Right? Like, there's less of a, man, Mike Trout didn't win a World Series than there is, how come, you know, LeBron hasn't won more, or how come Tatum hasn't won more? It's so much more associated with these guys. And I thought that was like a very mature answer. And like, look at that. He's like, hey, I got a pretty good life. So if I got to deal with a few people wondering why I didn't have a good fourth quarter, like, I can deal with that.
Well, this is why I never get people who are like, oh, how can you criticize Tatum? How can you do this? How can you do that?
He's a great player.
He makes so much money.
Well, there's
He gets all the praise in the world.
Yeah.
And when he plays like crap, we should be allowed to say it. And if we're a little mean from time to time, I think he can handle it. So he's now said that. I like that answer from Tatum.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to hold him to that. Because he didn't seem to feel that way after they won the title last year when he was asking, what are they going to say now and all this? But maybe he gets it now more so than he did. Or at minimum, at least he's saying the right thing and knows what to say in that spot. So I'll give him that. Is Tatum back to where we can trust him? Because I haven't loved how he's played all postseason. He came out poor against Orlando, got hurt in game one, missed game two. They won without him. He scored a lot of points the final three games of the Orlando series. I thought he was great. In game five, I didn't really think he was that great in game three or four against Orlando. He was terrible the first two games against New York. Are we back to where we can trust Jason Tatum?
So I don't know if it's one of those things where you know exactly what you're going to get out of him every single game. But and not to avoid the question, but if you look at the top players that are still playing in the league right now, you know, it'd be easy to be like, man, I don't know. Like, at the end of the game, like, maybe Tatum's not the guy or whatever. But right now, I don't know how many guys you'd want to swap him out with. Like, for the final minute, sure, maybe like Donovan Mitchell or somebody like that. But Donovan Mitchell's down 3-1. Or you'd say, like, oh, Gildas Alexander's like the MVP of the league. He shot poorly in this series, and he's tied 2-2 with the Nuggets right now. So nobody has really stood out as, like, the guy that is significantly better. I think there's still going to be questions when it comes to Tatum. And let's see what happens if there's another close game this series. Right, like, we all knew they could win the blowout, They won three blowouts in the regular season against the Knicks. Credit to Tatum. The one close regular season game they had,
he hit a monster shot. Forced overtime, yep.
So, like, I trust him, but, you know, I'm not going to bet my house that he's going to have a monster fourth quarter in a close game.
Yeah, they might not need it, by the way. Yeah. I mean, I think when Tatum's going, again, you have to pay extra attention to him. Other guys are open. I don't think it's a coincidence the Celtics shot so well in game three. So I think it's a lot easier when Tatum's going, but they proved a year ago they can win the whole thing without Tatum going, firing on all cylinders and playing super efficient. And you make a fair point about SGA and even Jokic and some of these other guys
Edwards
is a great one. Like, none of them are super efficient in this postseason. I'd say Tatum has a lot more help than all those guys, but that's fair. Like, none of those guys have been super efficient in the postseason either. I'm not to the point where I trust Tatum. I like that answer. I like how he played. I can't imagine he's as bad as the first two games of the series, but I don't think because of one game that's in the rearview mirror. He had a great game five against Orlando and came out and stunk it up for two games against the Knicks. So I'm not to the point where I fully trust we're getting regular season 25-30 a night Jason Tatum.
There's really no momentum, it feels like, game to game in the playoffs, you know, because you're right. You can have a game where you shoot really, really poorly, and then the next night you can't miss. Doesn't mean the next night you're going to have another one of those ones, right? And so same thing applies here with Tatum and really the team when it comes to their fourth quarters. If they win this series, I think they do win this series. They need three more wins. Can they get three more blowout wins? Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, the more likely thing maybe is two blowouts and then one close one where they kind of, you know, gut it out and win that way. Maybe that ends up what's happening. But, I mean, New York has been blown out for a time in all three of these games, right? It was just they came back in two of them. But it feels like the safest bet is tonight at some point the Celtics would be up by 20.
I would.
That's the safest bet. Now, whether they hang on to it or not, or they go on to win by 30 or whatever, but they're going to be up by 20 because that's something they've done just about every time they've played the Knicks this year.
I would say that's a relatively safe bet for tonight. So is the series over? Celtics win a game? Are they back? Do you trust Jason Tatum? We'll get to some thoughts about the Celtics in close games coming up with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Rafael Devers. John Henry had to go talk him down in Kansas City. We'll get to Miss Maine coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Keith with the summer blockbuster preview. And, of course, Pure Hoops with Terp. On a Monday,
wow,
live from New York. So we'll get to that coming up again with all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. A couple of good texts here. Tatum did play pretty well when he was angry against the Magic. Fair point. That was Tatum out of character. He said you can't show up and be angry some days. Got to be consistent.
He's still not like a snarly guy.
But that was snarly for him.
Yeah, it's Tatum snarly.
Fair point. Text line also calls him insufferable. I like that answer.
I disagree with that one.
So you can jump in on all that. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending. And then we'll get to the Celtics. Keith said likely they'll be up by at least 20 in this game tonight. Can they win a close one if that's what they need against New York? That's right after trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
With Billy Lane.
I like that answer from Jaylen Brown. And if they advance, we'll look back and we'll go, they were calm, they were cool, they were collected, they weren't threatened. They were up 20 in each of these games, meaning game one and game two against New York. And they knew they were the better team. They were grouped. They were fine. They never panicked. You know, if they don't win the series, we're going to look at it a lot differently. And they never took the Knicks seriously and all this. But I like that answer coming out of there. It's like, hey, that's how you guys should feel. You got us twice. You need to get us four times. We don't think you can.
Yeah, I always have to remind myself that the 08 Celtics, as dominant as they were, they won the title 66 games in the regular season, went 7 with the Atlanta Hawks, yep. And they went 7 with LeBron's Cavs, where it was just LeBron.
They weren't losing home games, though.
So, no, that's the big difference. But still, if you said they were going to lose 3 games in 2 weeks to the Hawks, you'd have been like, no chance.
Didn't see it coming, yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
And then they actually picked up momentum, and they won the finals in 6 games. They lost more times to the Hawks than to LeBron. It was a bizarre thing, but just because you feel like it's a mismatch, I mean, we see these playoff series play out longer. I'm sure even like Thunder Nuggets, for example, I don't know how many people thought Thunder Nuggets was going to be 2-2. I know the Cavs are dealing with injury, but they could lose that series in 5 games to the Indiana Pacers. So definitely strange things happen in the playoffs.
So we talked about this off the start. Are the Celtics back? Did they ever go anywhere? Are you to the point where you trust Jason Tatum in some of these games? He had a very good game 3. You know, and a very good start to game 3, which I think was important. Are you back to the point where you trust him? You can jump in at 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. We have Terp joining us from New York, Pure Hoops, at High Noon. Special appearance by Terp on a Monday. That comes your way 90 minutes from now. We'll start mixing in some thoughts on the Red Sox and Miss Maine, Bill Belichick, at a Holiday Inn in Maine over the weekend.
Well, not Miss Maine.
Well, no, the Miss Maine competition.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it, yeah.
Number 3.
He's not with Miss Maine.
No.
That we know of.
The backup to the backup
right.
of Miss Maine.
The Joe Milton.
The Joe Milton of Miss Maine, yeah. Exactly. So we'll do that coming up about an hour from now. Two-part question. Let me start with the first part. Can the Celtics win close games?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, it feels like against the Knicks specifically, you know, if you want to go back to the regular season just to add more games to it, we've seen them play 7 times, and they've won 4 of them in blowout fashion. They've lost 2 close ones, you know, close at the end, right? Obviously, they had a big lead, but we're talking about the end of the game. They lost 2, and they won 1 of the close games. So I think they can do it. We have seen these guys in their careers hit clutch shots. You know, we've seen Brown and Tatum hit clutch shots. We've seen Derek White with an unbelievable putback, like one of the craziest finishes of all time. So I think they can do it. But, like, you can't have as much confidence as you do just sort of wire to wire. Like, them going out there and overwhelming the Knicks or overwhelming whoever they play, I feel better about that than I do, all right, last couple minutes of a game. So I would say yes, but not with the most confidence in the world.
The second part of the question is, does it matter? Like, if they're just blowing everybody
maybe
out,
not in this series.
It may not matter. So I acknowledge that up front. I think that's how they have to win games. You know, I think they have to win 10 points, 15 points, 20. I don't think they're winning close games at a high clip. And, yeah, you can say, don't put yourself in a close game. Don't give yourself a chance to lose. You're going to win going away. I think it's how they have to win. But I think they could win 4 straight against New York, all blowouts. You know, they could already be up 3-0. If they could hold on to their lead. So, if nothing else, everyone watching that game on Saturday, and I imagine the Celtics were feeling this way playing the game out, everyone when they were up 20 wasn't comfortable on Saturday. You weren't comfortable until, I heard Ken and Curtis talking about this today, you weren't comfortable until the backups were in at the end of the game. So, they got over that hump where, yeah, we can go up 20, we can protect the lead, we're not going to blow this thing. I think that's how they have to win games. And the good news is, I think they can against this team. I think they can against Indiana. talk to me in the NBA Finals. Let me know who the matchup is. They might be able to beat Minnesota. They might be able to beat Denver in all blowouts. I don't think you can do that against OKC. I don't know if the Warriors are going to be healthy enough if they get Curry back. I don't think you can do that against Golden State. But in the right matchup, they could win four games in a series by just raining threes and winning by 20 and winning going away. So they may not have to. But if they have to, Keith, I don't like their chances against this team in close games. I said that going in. If the Knicks are going to win games, how they're going to do it is they're going to keep it close, and they have a better closer than you do. They won a bunch of games against Detroit, close games where they came from behind. They've won two against the Celtics. If the Celtics put themselves in that spot, I don't like their chances, but I don't know they're going to put themselves in that spot. It feels like they got over a big hump on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, last year, clearly their opponents were undermanned, and there's all those injuries that we talked about, but the Eastern Conference Finals was a competitive sweep. That was a close series.
It's the closest sweep you're ever going to see.
And I know Halliburton is obviously like the biggest factor there and how good he can be late in the game, but that was a four-game sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against playoff Nimhard and the Pacers, and three of those games came right down to the end. I think they only had one blowout in there. But all those games, they won by like 3 points. They won by 5 points. They had these massive possessions. Now, that was a year ago, but it is the same roster. It's the same head coach. So you wonder if they can get that done or how much of it is going to be countered with, say, Jalen Brunson on the other side. You know, you go back to earlier in the series where, all right, Brunson versus Brown and Tatum in the final couple of minutes or even the whole fourth quarter once the game got close. And one guy seemed to be a lot more comfortable in that situation than the other two.
Nope, that's true. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mark in Medford on Game 4 tonight. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. So what I'd like to see tonight from the Celtics, say they're up by 20-plus points at halftime, how about you come out in the second half, stay away from the three, go to the hoop, get the 2 points, or get fouled, go to the line for two shots, let the Knicks force the threes. You get the rebounds. You go back. Let the Knicks have to take the threes. You're up 20-plus points. You don't have to do it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel that way coming out of Game 3?
No.
I mean, they protected their lead. If the Knicks go on a run, let's say you're up 20, right? Yeah. Well, let's play out his scenario.
I bet they will be up 20 some point.
You're up 20 and the Knicks trim it to 10 or 12? Get away from the three. I'm with you on that. But while they're falling, they were falling on Saturday, I don't mind continuing to shoot them. If you're making them, I don't mind it. But if you don't recognize that you've gone ice cold, you're missing them, you're pressing, maybe it's time to mix in a two. That's what frustrates me. If they're raining threes, you don't need to run away from it. Keep shooting.
And like everybody was shooting well, right? So they did go from games where everyone was shooting poorly to everyone shooting well. So you'll find it early. You'll know who has it and who doesn't. I think it's way too over the top to be like, all right, you have a lead, no more threes. Yeah. Like, that's not how they play.
No, my issue is not recognizing when they're not falling and not saying, hey, maybe tonight we don't have it. Let's stop jacking them up just because they're open. Let's try going to the hoop and make a concerted effort to that.
To the college point, it is
the Knicks cut into a lead.
It's a weird strategy from going back to like game one where it felt like trying to protect the lead, they kept bombing away threes. And you're like, well, you guys aren't hitting them. They had somehow built a lead, which is almost more damning to the Knicks. Even though they won these two games, right? So maybe this is flawed logic. They won those two games, but you got down 20 and they weren't even shooting well. We're like, they weren't playing their best basketball and you were down 20.
Yeah.
Now you won the games, but I just feel like for the rest of the series, that's not really a great sign.
What's a, oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, going back to all the games are a little bit different and, you know, depending on, you know, what the lead is and how guys are shooting, I do like closer to 43s
well,
and when you
ask.
Take like 40, 45 twos. Like, I think we got to at least come to that agreement where same number of twos or a few more two attempts than threes, and hopefully it's dunks and layups and transition, but I don't like when it's weighted where you ended up taking more threes. And I know Missoula would be like, well, a lot of them were open threes. Like, yeah, but still, if you're not hitting them, you don't need to do that. And also, like, early in the shot clock threes when you're up by 20 is also maddening. Like, that's almost like a turnover.
So I was going to ask you just the total number. Like, 43s to me sounds about right, but you probably have the better answer. What's the ratio with the twos they're taking?
And 45 threes, but you also took 45 twos or 52s? Like, okay.
Because then that comes back to pace and things like that. So I get it, but like 40 as a round number feels
not
about
bad.
Right. They've done that the last two games. I had no problem with their three-point shooting in game two. I didn't have an issue with that. I mean, I want him to make more.
Yeah.
But I thought game one was egregious. That's the only time I've come in kicking and screaming about blindly just chucking up three after three after three after three after three. Like, to me, game two was much more about Tatum specifically than the overall team shot selection. Mm-hmm. Game one, that was it. If they're around 40 and they're shooting a few more twos than they're shooting threes, for today's NBA, that's probably right. But yeah, I'm not up 20 at halftime making a concerted effort to stop shooting threes at half. If you go cold and the Knicks are making a comeback, then it's time to reevaluate. Short of that, keep chucking them up. Like, I don't have an issue with that, especially when you're making them. Now you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. Do you think tonight is a must-win for the Celtics, Keith? You can't afford to split New York, go down 3-1, have to go back to the Garden, and win three straight games.
I don't.
You don't think it's a must-win tonight?
No. No, and like you bullied me into saying game three was a must-win. I feel like they might be the one team that could pull off a comeback because they have been at long stretches of the games dominating. And they are, to me, they're better than the Knicks. Now that's, you're going up against history, and now that's, you need everything to kind of go your way to win four in a row. But can they win three in a row against this team? Yeah, I would say so.
I think it's a must win for New York.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I think it's a must win for New York. It's a more bigger, so for them. Yes.
It's a bigger game for the Knicks tonight. And if anybody has a must win, it's the Knicks.
Because now you go from being up 2-0 to being like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, no, never mind. The series is now over.
If they lose tonight, it's going to be over in six.
It's definitely a must win for them.
Yeah. So if it's a must win for anybody, it's a must win for New York. I don't like the Celtics' chances going down 3-1, but I wouldn't rule out they can come back. If the Knicks pee away these two games at home, it'll be over in six is what it'll be.
That's devastating.
And all the panic after the first two games for me and everybody else.
There were some good.
Will look very foolish.
Speaking of panicking, there were some good shots of the celebrity Knicks fans sitting around the court on game three.
You hear Kostos this morning?
Yeah.
Kostos was like, I actually applaud those guys. I thought it was a decent point. He's like, I know people glom onto the Knicks when they get hot, all these celebrity fans, but he's like, Stiller and Spike are there at all the games.
No.
They suck. These guys are there.
Ben Stiller likes the Knicks more than he likes anything else.
Tracy Morgan was puking all over the court in March.
He's still there.
I couldn't believe they let him in.
He's there, yeah. Well, they probably didn't feed him. They're like, listen, you got to just take it easy. We'll give you a water. But yeah, Tracy Morgan was there in his Knicks gear.
Those poor Knicks
Timothy
fans.
Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, is he there?
The world's greatest actor.
Yeah.
He was there, front row.
I guess I missed him.
Yeah, Timmy Chals. Huh. He's having a good time. He's a big Knicks fan, apparently.
Well, Barry, he might be one that's glomming on a little more than the others.
I think he's a hoops guy, though.
Yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah, he's there, what, Causeway Caveman?
I think, I think maybe Chalamet is going to play Tom Thibodeau in a biopic. He's just actually shadowing him for that.
617-779-7937. Who's the game more important for tonight? Is it a must win for New York? You can jump in on that again at 617-779-7937. We got another gem from Joe Mazzulla. You'll hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Joe Mazzulla after game three.
It wasn't David Berkowitz.
No, no, no.
You gotta
tap into your darkness, Keith.
I guess. It works. If that's what it takes, tap in. Tap into the darkness.
Well, let's see if it works.
Well, work for a game.
It worked for, well, he got to go up there after a game and say they tapped into it. Let's actually see if it plays out that way. It's a bigger game for New York tonight than it is for the Celtics. I would call it a must win for the Knicks tonight. You don't want to go back to Boston.
No.
2-2. Frittering away that lead. If you thought it was dark for the Celtics, it'll be real dark for the Knicks and all their celebrity fans.
On the Twitch chat, the Boston Massacre is 100% right. Joe's weird bleep isn't fun when they aren't winning. You're right. When they are, I love it. The bloodlines, the tapping into your darkness is great. If you're down 2-0, you're down 3-0, and he's talking about tapping into the darkness,
it's less
fun. All right, bud.
Yeah. Chill out, would you?
Why don't you figure out how to call a timeout?
No, and I think we're like pretty fair on this, where we're like, look, we're frauds on this.
Big time frauds.
When they lose, we hate it.
Yep.
When they win, we're kind of like, yeah, Joe, yeah, tap into that
maniac
darkness. Yeah, so I ride the wave on this
sure
one. I
do.
Admit it. I admit the fraudulence there.
Yep.
But yeah, no, we're tracking all these Joe comments. Don't you worry. We have a running list of comments. So add this one, another gem from Mazzulla. I do disagree a little bit with his statement there. I like the line.
Tapping into the darkness?
No, part before that where he goes, well, you know, you can't dictate the terms on how you're tested. Well, no, you could have. You could have dictated a lot of things differently in games one and two. Like just, oh, it just happened? Like, you guys had no part in how the first two losses, it just happened to you, and now you can't do anything about it? Like, no. There were things you could have done to deal with it. You didn't in real time, and now you got to pick up the pieces. So I don't fully agree with everything he said there.
No.
But that's kind of his whole approach. It's like, well, we just go through our process, and we jack up a bunch of threes, and if we win, we win, and if we don't, it was the right process, and sooner or later, the math will work out, and it'll go in our favor, and I think that's how Joe looks at it.
Has he ever taken accountability for anything? Do you remember a time?
Well, has he said it? Maybe. Yeah. Like, maybe he's gone through and said it.
I don't even know. Like, has he ever thought,
I got to be better or something like that? I bet he said that.
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, during the regular season, there were times like, well, what would you guys expect us to be, like, really good? I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said that.
I thought better than a year ago, yes.
He's like, yeah, what do you guys think? We're going to be good? The defending champs that brought everybody back?
I did, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And then this one, it was like Tatum had a good look at this and like all the other, you know, these were open shots. Like it was a lot of that stuff and not critical of himself in any way about timeout management or anything.
So the danger is you do wonder if Joe looks at it and goes, again, our process was right in the first two games. Bad bounce here, bad bounce there. We didn't hit our shots. It's always going to come back around. It did come back around in game three. It's going to continue to come back around. We don't have to change anything. And they get a little comfortable. I think that's the danger in Joe's comments there. But if you're asking me, do I pick the Celtics tonight? Yes. Am I picking them to win the series? I never stopped picking them to win the series. So I was more panicky than Keith for sure. But I never picked New York. I feel good about where they're at. And I don't think it's going to blow up in their face. But I'll tell you what. If they lose this game tonight, we're going to revisit that Mazzulla comment and go, oh, there are things you can't control.
Right.
Oh, your process was good in all these games? Well, it turns out, no, not so much. You just rained a bunch of threes. They just went in, and it never got close, and you won, and your team didn't panic, and you were fine. That's all that happened in Game 3. So can they win close games? Do you trust Tatum after a big performance in Game 3? We can mix in Mazzulla on this as well.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I just – he still – you're asking, like, confidence level in Tatum. Like, you have to be prepared for maybe not a perfect fourth quarter, right? Like, just because we've seen it – a few times. But in, with Mazzulla, less significant, right? The head coach versus the star player. But I still have some reservations and some doubt there. Because if the scenario of game one plays out and they're all cold again, he's not going to really do anything to change that.
No.
And then also at the end of the game, as much as it is on Tatum and Brown, you got to ask yourself, like, is Mazzulla going to put those guys in the right spot? Does Mazzulla know when to maybe bail out a play and call a timeout? Or does he know when to draw up a play? Like, I still have my doubts on him late in the game. And to your point, it may not matter. They may win this game by 15-20. We kind of, you know, move on to game five. But in a close game, he kind of scares me as much as the players.
It's a good point. When you're talking about can they win close games, like he's right in the middle of it. We have Welsh on Friday, Tim Welsh. You can check it out on the Odyssey app after game two. Like, a lot of questions from a former coach about how Mazzulla handled those final 12 seconds. You have thoughts on any of the other series, Cavs down 3-1 specifically? Is that series over?
Yeah, I think it might be. I think they're just kind of up against it too much. You know, like I think the injuries have piled up for them, and I know they got some of their guys back, but
Garland and Mobley all came back, but then
Mitchell was useless.
Mitchell's hurt now,
right?
I don't know if he's didn't return to the game because it was a blowout, or if he's really gonna in jeopardy of missing another game. But that one feels over. Like,
yeah, because even if the bodies are out there, they're not right.
If you get through the Knicks, you're getting the Pacers. Like, that's how it feels, and I expect him to get through the Knicks.
I would agree.
So Pacers waiting for you in the Eastern Conference Final. That feels wide open for you.
It feels very, very, very winnable. You know, because the Cavs were a team where, as the season was going on, and they lost to the Cavs in the regular season, I was thinking, man, that might be one where they need Porzingis, who, by the way, another nothing out of Porzingis.
Yeah, what did he finish in the game? Porzingis played 19 points off the bench. Something he had 5 points all from the free throw line, 0-for-3 from the floor.
Yeah, so I don't think...
And 5 fouls.
And we don't even know what's going on with it, like mystery illness, so you can't count on Porzingis. Now, they won the title last year without him. They may have to very well win the title without him this year. I feel like whoever comes out of the West, you might need him a little bit more. I originally thought that you would need him against Cleveland, but now you're not even going to play Cleveland. So, like, do you need him against Indiana? Probably not.
No.
Probably not at all. But yeah, maybe the Pacers are kind of a tough, well-balanced team. Like, not one that you would expect at the beginning of the year to be this far along in the playoffs. It's where they were last year, and a lot of it was because, wow, look at all the injuries and, you know, the conference, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, back-to-back conference finals, or in all likelihood, is pretty impressive.
Look, it can be an annoying series. It was annoying last year, and they swept them.
Mm-hmm.
But who's picking the Pacers in that series? Should the Celtics get there? 617-779-7937. I can't imagine a lot of you would. By the way, good point by Dark and Stormy Nights. We were promised a return appearance by Aztec Geno today. I think we're supposed to...
Oh, that's right.
Supposed to hear from Aztec Geno. He called out Knicks fans after 0-2.
Yeah.
He called out, really, any lack of belief in the Celtics up and down after those first two games. So score one for Aztec Geno.
That's right.
Maybe nice we'll job. Hear from him later on in the program. We're talking to Justin Turpin from New York. Pure Hoops on a Monday at high noon. Stay tuned for it. And we'll start to mix in some other thoughts. Keith has a summer blockbuster preview at the end of the next hour, about 45 minutes from now. We'll get to Miss Maine, or the number 3 in the competition, Jordan Hudson, along with Bill Belichick in attendance at the Holiday Inn up in Maine. Some thoughts on, where that Bill Belichick story has gone from last week. And let's get to the Red Sox. John Henry is actually doing something for his team. Very strange. Flew to Kansas City to meet with Rafael Devers and Alex Cora after everything that blew up late last week. We have thoughts on it. We'll get to it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.